Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And we welcome everyone to the Steve Jones Show on this Wednesday. You okay there, Kev?
I think so, but I'm not quite sure.
You're kind of up, down, and all around here. You all right? All right. Great to have you with us on this beautiful Wednesday. Really windy out there today. Our number 800-795-9565. AJ Green got hurt today for the Bengals. They had to cart him off the field.
Re-injuring a toe.
I understand.
Yeah, well, this is big news for you. This could be the moment where you seize the moment in the division, because, I mean, the talent level between the two teams is not small. You don't want to believe that, but I thought AJ McCarron looked good the other night, didn't you?
I have no comment.
You have what?
Actually, I'm starting to hear myself a little back here through you, Steve.
How's this now?
That sounds better. Hey. So that's what it feels like when I do that to you.
Yeah, you do it to me all the time.
I know.
Yeah. I am in the Sunbury Motors studio, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 to 15, Hummel's Wharf. And Kevin, speaking of Sunbury Motors, you're going Lincoln on us.
The certified Lincoln pre-owned, or certified pre-owned Lincoln that has about 16,000 miles on it. It's a 2013 Lincoln MKZ all-wheel drive. The nice thing about this, Steve, is it has everything you'd ever want on it. It feels like a brand new car, but you don't have to worry about the brand new car price. Plus, you get a great warranty. 6 years, 100,000-mile comprehensive warranty. They've checked it out every possible way. And then if you do have any problems, here's the best part. They have 24-hour roadside assistance, and that will include some reimbursement for travel expenses of up to $500 for 3 days. That includes meals, lodging, and rental vehicle if your breakdown is more than 100 miles from home. So if you don't think owning a pre-owned vehicle is possible or owning a Lincoln is possible, you should check out the certified pre-owned Lincolns at Sunbury Motors and be very, very comfortable that you will not have any issues whatsoever. That's in the North 4th Street Plaza, Sunbury.
Wow. A lot to it there.
Well, I also found that among the great safety features on it, it actually will automatically dim the headlights. So if you're driving at night and you have the high beams on, it senses a car. It'll automatically go to low beam. As you come into town, it'll automatically go to low beam. And if there's any rain, it'll automatically turn the wipers on for you. Basically, all you have to do is just sit in the car and hit the start button.
That fits you.
The less I have to think, the better.
Wow. Pretty special.
The other day, I was checking the lane assist. You know, you just drive it a little bit off, the steering starts to vibrate, it brings you right back in the lane. I must have done it one too many times because I had the little coffee cup come up on the screen and said, you should take a break.
Yes, you should.
When you do it too much, I think it comes up and it says, you should learn to drive.
Yeah. High school football this week. Why don't you give us a quick preview of Shikellamy as they get ready. I mean, here it is Wednesday, and we're getting ready for Friday already.
I know. I'm not quite completely ready. But Shamokin has a very talented young quarterback in Tucker Yost that we've seen a little bit of through the years, but now he's the one running the offense, and he does a lot of good things with that offense. Runs the ball well. He also throws the ball very well. It has been it's been a team that is just on the cusp, and you wonder what's going to be their big breakthrough game. Shikellamy is in the same situation. They've been throwing the ball very, very well over the last couple of weeks, especially with Christian Schlegel. He had a little bit of trouble this past week, but they were able to overcome with a win, and a win at home, which Shikellamy hadn't done all year. And they're one of those teams, too, that's just waiting for a breakout game. So this is a very important game as far as, and I know you're going to have fun with this.
Actually, no, I was going to actually follow this up about where do you think the playoff picture is right now?
Well, this is a big playoff game. Now, neither team, it looks right now, would be out of the playoffs with a loss, but it would make the difference between being a 3 seed and a 4 seed. And if you'd have to play the top seed or the number 2 seed in District 4 playoffs. And right now, Shikellamy's in the 4 slots, Shamokin's in the 3, and then Sealands Grove's in the 2, Jersey Shore is the number 1 seed at this point. So even though a loss would not kill either team's playoff hopes as far as the District 4 playoffs are concerned, it would mean the difference between playing a 1 seed or a 2 seed.
Okay. So that's where they are at this stage. Now, how many to go? 5? 4?
This is week 7. Okay. I think it's week. I don't know. I'm starting to run together. I think it's week 7.
Well, what's their record, Kevin?
Yeah, well, that's what I used to figure it out. Let's see. This would be definitely week 7.
Got it.
Well, you know what gets confusing to me? When you're setting up each week and you're looking at games and it's like week 7 in high school and college, but it's actually week 6 in the NFL, and it confuses me.
It'll also be week 6 for Penn State game-wise.
Game-wise, right.
Because of the bye week, so.
Now, you talked about this being a good place for the bye. And, you know, you're right. I think you said this on Monday. If they won or lost, it was still a good place for the bye.
Yeah, the result of the game didn't matter
to me. But the second one, a bye right afterwards, I would think has a few more minuses than pluses. Yeah, it gives you an extra week to get ready for the next game, which is a pretty big game. But having a bye week coming off a game and a bye week before, that's not ideal.
No. I don't like the fact that it's so closely bunched. I feel like you play a game, now do you get out of rhythm because, you know, you're only playing one game in 27 days. One game in 27 days you play once. Now, Penn State did not put this schedule together. This is a Big Ten schedule. It's, you know, the computer kicks in. And, you know, and that's how they help determine what the schedule is, because the computer kicks in and does that. All right. But I just don't like the placement of it. I'm not really big into the fact that there are 2 bye weeks in the season to begin with.
Well, I don't mind it as much if they're spread out better.
Yes and no. I mean, this is the last year I think there are 2. I think it has to do with where Labor Day is and where Thanksgiving is.
It could be.
I think that's what it has to do. I think that it's just where the calendar falls. You know, that kind of, that lets you know where the calendar falls as to how many bye weeks you get. And I think the calendar sequence allows 1 bye week. Because of where Labor Day is and where Thanksgiving is.
Well, see, like Bucknell's schedule, the bye weeks, I think, fit very well. They had one after the second game of the season. Then they go 1, 2, 3, 4 more games and then have another bye and then finish the season out. So it's basically 3, 4, and 5. So the bye weeks there, I think, are spaced out almost as well as you possibly can to be able to get guys rested. The only thing you could hope for that would be better would be if that bye week came before the Lehigh game instead of after the Lehigh game, and then you just run the slate of Patriot League games without a bye. And you have that extra week to get everybody healthy and prepared for the Patriot League.
Right. Well, to me, one bye is enough. I think it's all you need in a football season. I realize in basketball in the Big Ten there are two byes. Now, it's subtle. I mean, 1 week your bye is no midweek game. 1 week your bye is no weekend game. Well, this only means you have 6 or 7 days apart in games twice a year. That's all it means. So it's a lot more subtle in basketball as opposed to football, where suddenly you don't play a game. You have 2 weeks. And you're sitting around saying, okay.
Now I think it also works out in Bucknell's.
Okay.
I think it also works out in Bucknell's favor, too, because there are more road games and they're longer road trips than they have been in the last couple of years. I mean, making the trip to Rhode Island and Connecticut in the first half of the year and then Massachusetts in the second half of the year, that's where I think that second bye week really helps them. And again, the placement of it, I don't think you could ask for better placement as far as their schedule is concerned.
Well, this isn't minor league baseball.
What do you mean?
Okay. Well, okay. Let's get on a bus and let's go to Vermont for 9 hours, play 3 games, and then
come back,
we're going to go to Troy and play 3 games. I mean, you do it once a week.
Yeah, it's a once-a-week thing. It's not 3 consecutive games. That's a very good point. All right, I see where you're going with that.
Okay, so, I mean, I have sympathy for it. I mean, because obviously I'm in a charter situation where they put me on an airplane. I understand that. I mean, I'm leaving at 12:30 on Friday, but I'm on a plane. I mean, I'll be in the hotel by 3:30, 4 o'clock in the afternoon. So, I mean, I understand that. I understand that I'm in a different situation, but. You know, I mean, I've done basketball one night. I've done games where I've done four games in 3 days.
Oh, my goodness, yeah. When the basketball wrestling season crossover, you're in the air, I think, more than you're on the ground.
You know, I remember one time I did a basketball game in Charleston on a Thursday, did a basketball game on Friday. I flew up to East Lansing and got to Lansing at 2 o'clock in the morning Saturday. Did a 3:30 game in the afternoon in Lansing, went back to Detroit, got a 5:30 flight into Atlanta, into Charleston. I mean, you know, and then did the Sunday game.
The only way you knew what city where you were in was you looked at the headline in the paper.
Yeah, but I'm just saying that, I mean, long bus trips are not easy. They are not. But if you don't make a big deal out of it, then it's not a big deal. Then there's you. You make a big deal out of everything.
I just find everything interesting.
And you know you do.
Did I deny it? I said I like to find things that are interesting.
I just, for example, probably echoed everybody in your family. Hey, we're going to the bottom of the hour.
While looking for a vehicle, you know that if it sounds too good to be true, chances are it is too good to be true. You get the runaround, gotta go from place to place. Well, you can just skip all of that and go straight to Sunbury Motor Company. Sunbury Motor Company has been satisfying more customers and selling more cars since 1915, so you know they've got it right. No offers that look good on paper or online, and then you get disappointed when you see them in person. Sunbury Motor Company offers a lineup few other auto dealers in the area can compete with. With the inventory of Ford, Hyundai, Kia, and Lincoln vehicles, there will be no problem finding the right vehicle that fits your needs and your budget. And the friendly, knowledgeable staff's ready and able to help you with everything from the test drive to the drive off the lot. See for yourself at Sunbury Motors. Sunbury Motors Ford, Lincoln, Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Look for them online anytime at sunburymotors.com.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
I'd like to say a personal shout out to Tim Ford. Hi, you. You can text Kevin back and say you're doing well. Did you see the 30 for 30 last night on ESPN?
I did not.
On the point shaving scandal at Boston College? I never realized until watching that last night. I'm going to assume you've seen the movie Goodfellas. Hello? Hello?
I'm listening.
I'm asking you, have you seen the movie Goodfellas?
Yes, a long time ago, yeah.
Oh, okay. Roger wonders why I worry. All right. There's the scene at the end of the movie where Henry Hill gets placed into witness protection after he makes the arrangement to go into witness protection, he then takes the witness stand against Jimmy Conway and, I can't remember Paul's last name in the movie. And he testifies.
Yeah, it's been too long. I can't remember the name either. Sorry, Steve.
Yeah. Paul Sorvino plays it. What I didn't realize what the testimony was about was the Boston College point shaving scandal.
So they were referring to that in the movie?
I didn't realize that until I watched 30 for 30.
Now I'm going to have to watch the movie again.
Well, the way it was explained in 30 for 30 was that it was a lot like the Chicago gangster, Al Capone.
Capone, yeah.
They didn't get Al Capone for murdering and killing people.
No, it was tax evasion.
Okay? They got him for tax evasion. Well, they didn't get these guys for the Lufthansa robbery. They got him for the BC point shaving scandal. That's what they got them for. I never knew that. That the darndest thing?
No, I never realized that's what it was. That's funny. I'll have to watch that 30 now, for 30 now.
Well, it's about what they were doing with points in games. And it turns out that part of the plan was hatched in Lewisburg.
At the Lewisburg Penn.
Yes.
That I remember hearing, reading, or something. I do remember that, though.
That's where the point shaving scandal started.
There's a lot of stories in the Lewisburg Penn over the
evidently.
Decades.
Evidently. So, in the movie, Robert De Niro plays, I think, Jimmy Conway. In reality, it's Jimmy Burke. And they couldn't figure out how to pin the Lufthansa thing on these guys, but they got this. Now, this isn't the only point-shaving scandal ever, or game-fixing scandal ever. Let me relate the Penn State experience in this. Unbeknownst to anybody at the time. Now, you know I've told this story before.
I think I know the one you're going to tell, yeah.
Kevin Pendergast, the place kicker for Notre Dame. I think he won a big game for them with a kick, bowl game, something like that. There's a walk-on, I think, from Simsbury, Connecticut. Honor Society student, the whole thing. And for whatever reason, I can't remember how he got into it. I don't know if he made a trip to Vegas. How he got into it was vague to me. But Northwestern had been going through a football scandal at the time. Dennis Lundy, the running back, was actually pretty good. At Iowa, is going in for a touchdown and mysteriously drops the ball and fumbles it. It is alleged that he got $400 for making sure that the points were right. The stories I've read, that's the number I've seen. Now, Kenneth Lee, Deion Lee, on the basketball team, and evidently he had incurred some debt. And part of the football investigation, I think. He ended up getting suspended for 10 games from basketball. And he had thought about transferring to Western Kentucky. He decided to stick it out. And then Pendergast, somebody came up with hatching the idea of Northwestern basketball losing games. And Northwestern, this was a season, 94-95, Kevin, they went 5-22. So Northwestern getting blown out in a basketball game was not exactly going to be something where somebody sat back and went, what's going on here? Nobody was going to sit back and say, what's going on here? So through some way, Pendergast gets hooked in with Lee. And then they get Dewey Williams involved and another guy by the name of Kevin Purdy. Now, Purdy, I think, was given immunity from prosecution, so he wasn't convicted of anything. But those allegedly, those are the three guys. And they decided to do it on an every other game basis. And the deal was that Lee would get $4,000. He would keep $2,600 and I think was supposed to give $700 each to Williams and Purdy. Lee was very much an up-and-down player, which is a perfect kind of player to have involved in this. He started, and the first time they played in Rec Hall that year, if I remember correctly, he scored 17 points, and he missed a shot from midcourt that could have forced overtime or won it, one of the two. And he missed it. But he played pretty well. But there is also not unusual that he had 4 points in the game. That's just the way he was. Dewey Williams, frankly, is a big guy, 6'8 guy. I never liked as a player. I didn't think he was quick enough. I thought he was not really in great shape. And I always thought it was a great matchup for John Amici anyway. But he was still a big man who could score inside, and so he can affect either through defense or finishing. He could affect the game. Now, how about a guy like Purdy? Well, Purdy was a kid that came off the bench, and guess what? He could come off the bench at the end of a game and all of a sudden like bomb in three-pointers, and suddenly what was a 15-point spread, and you're down 18, suddenly he makes it a 12-point game, and they still lose by 12. He's a good three-point shooter. So they could affect a game. So the first game they try this with is a game with Wisconsin. Wisconsin was a 13.5-point favorite. And Wisconsin won by 14. Now that means everybody won. But it was also too close for comfort, as you can tell. They then skipped a game, and the next game was Penn State. And I remember somebody pointing out Kevin Pendergast to me in the crowd behind the Northwestern bench, And I recall mentioning on the broadcast he was there only because he was the Notre Dame kicker and had won a game for them. So I knew he was there at the game. I was told he was at the game. And he was sitting right behind the Northwestern bench. I just thought, oh, man, I didn't really think twice about why he was there. You know, I didn't know enough about him. Well, the next game they picked was the Penn State game. Penn State was a 15-point favorite. This is the year that Penn State went to the NIT Final Four. They went 9-9 in the league. Okay? It was Bruce Parkhill's last year. Remember the game. Penn State kicked the living daylights out of them. I think Amechi had a career-high 30 points. I think Glenn Secunda had a big game, too. And Amechi just abused Dewey Williams. Now, that didn't surprise me because, again, I did not think highly of Dewey Williams as a player. Okay? So the fact that he couldn't defend Amechi was no big deal to me in my mind. Purdy was never any factor, period, in my mind going into the game. Zero. I felt he was a contributor off the bench, but didn't contribute much. I never really thought, again, another guy I didn't think highly of. Lee, I thought, was a guy that could be a good player in the game or maybe not. Well, he had 4 points. And I remember he turned the ball over in front of him, right in front of me. But the fact that he didn't play well didn't strike me. The fact that Williams couldn't defend Amechi didn't strike me. And Purdy's a non-factor. So this is a 30-point game. I think Penn State won the game something like 89-59, some number like that. It was pretty big. I mean, they just killed him. Well, they got the 4,000. Lee kept 2,600, split the other 1,400 between the other guys. They then skipped a game, and then Northwestern was playing a game at Michigan. And Michigan was, I think, a 24-point favorite. Game was on the road. It's at Michigan. And Michigan's a 24-point favorite. Pendergast, who had made some money off of Wisconsin, made a little bit more off the Penn State game, now wanted to roll the big bundle on this game. Lee didn't want to do it. And it is alleged the reason why Lee didn't want to do it was 24 is a huge number. So Pendergast went to Evanston and met with Lee in an alley near the Northwestern campus. And they knew that they were trying for the big score in this game. And so he told Lee, look, I'll double it. I'll give you $8,000. Now, Lee was already in debt, so the $8,000 would help get him out of debt or at least get close to even. So Lee then agreed to the $8,000. What happened was is that Michigan built a lead, put the reserves in. The reserves didn't play well. Michigan ended up turning the ball over literally 22 times in the game and won by 17. Those guys lost their shirts because they decided to roll the big bundle, and I think it was at that point everything started to unravel. But this whole thing about, you know, you should be able to spot it. I did the Penn State game. I didn't spot it. I was right there at courtside. Deion Lee was very much an up-and-down player, so the fact that he was having a down night, I didn't walk around going, oh, what the heck's wrong with him? Like I said, he was capable of 17 one night, 4 the next. Well, he had 17 at Rec Hall, and he had 4 in Evanston. As I said, Dewey Williams, I never liked as a player. Just never really felt like he was, and I always thought Purdy was a non-factor. The only way you're going to get something like this to unravel is if somebody talks. Because I think, unless it's a thing like the Lundy thing, where Lundy dropped the ball at the one-yard line and nobody's around him, you're like, what the heck happened there? I talked to Ron Vanderlinden, was on the coaching staff at Northwestern when that happened. And it still to this day bothers him. And remember when we were talking about point fixing in the NBA. What was the key to it? The key was not to make the call in the fourth quarter that swung the game. The key was to make the calls in the first quarter and a little bit into the second quarter that made the margin insurmountable. Unless somebody talks, I think it's hard to spot. I was also 19 years younger then, too. Had more hair. And maybe less wisdom. Well, I don't even know if he could put a handle on that one either. In the movie Goodfellas, at the end, when he's testifying, Henry Hill, Ray Liotta, it's actually the BC point shaving scandal he's testifying at. Fingering Jimmy Burke in the movie Jimmy Conway. Like I said, I've done a game that was allegedly fixed. I walked out of there that night saying, yeah, they won by 30. It's great. I went on and started working on the next game. We'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Must I forever be a beggar whose golden dreams will not come true?
Don't forget, fettuccine alfredo is our specialty here at the Olive Garden. All right, welcome back.
Thought I'd just dig out some Goodfellas music.
Yeah, brother. Good. But, yeah, Rick Kuhn got 10 years for that. I think he served 2.5 to 3. They gave Jimmy Burke 20. He died in 96, I believe. Paul, and I can't remember his name, but Paulie in the movie. And of course, they changed the last names, but Paulie in the movie, he died in prison as well. And Henry Hill went in the witness protection program. He and Karen then got divorced eventually. And he passed away in, 2 years ago? But ironically, they were able to get him and interview him about the BC point shaving scandal before he died. Now, how long ago that interview was with him, I don't know, but it was interesting. They had Ray Liotta, by the way, narrate it. But I found it to be a fascinating story. I mean, the 30 for 30 series, by the way, has been really, really good. I mean, they've done a fascinating job of digging deeper into a lot of things. They are going to do a 30 for 30 coming up, and I know this for a fact because I was asked about this, about President Nixon declaring the Texas-Arkansas winner the national champion when Penn State was undefeated. And it was all part of Bud Wilkinson, the former Oklahoma coach who was an advisor to the Nixon campaign, that part of the Southern strategy, which is where the electoral vote shift was happening, that if he declared the Texas-Arkansas winner the national champion, that it would help him in the 1972 election. Well, of course, Penn State's undefeated, and Joe is at home watching. Joe told me the story himself, so I know the story. And he told me, so I'm sitting at home, and I'm fuming watching this. You know, it's like, I mean, he said, somebody from AP, I guess, called up, and he said, what do you think about this? He says, think about what? He says, well, about President Nixon declaring the Texas-Arkansas winner of the national champion. He goes, I'm not watching the game. I'm babysitting the kids.
Was he watching the game, though, really?
Oh, yes, he was.
Yeah,
he was
I watching figured.
He, He was watching every bloody second. He said, you know, Steve, one of those moments you tell one of those white lies. I said, oh, I hear you. He said, because I was just too mad to tell him how I felt.
It's like the time one of those networks called Jack Nicklaus. They said, Jack, are you watching the tournament? Well, yeah, you told me you were going to call.
Well, this was a call out of the blue. They said, what do you think about it? I'm not watching the game. Said, well, what are you doing? I'm babysitting the kids. It was Spencer had an off weekend.